Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, or actually good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Arise and Shine Global Ministries. My name is Daryl Hikes, and I will be your host for the next 29 minutes and 40 seconds. So, hey, let's pray and just get right into the program. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity of being able to minister your word. I thank you that your word goes out with clarity, consistency, that it does what you want it to accomplish. I just thank you for the opportunity of being able to minister your word. And I just want to, you know, my goal is to always be a blessing to people to where they can successfully navigate, understand, and operate in your word. And it's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic name of Jesus that I pray. And if you're listening and you agree with that prayer, then just say amen. Yeah, it's been a minute since I've been on the Blog Talk Radio. I've been taking care of some things, really ministering to my parents and just making every effort to be a blessing to them. I do want to say, if you have living parents, visit them, spend time with them, get to know them, you know, if at all possible. I know that there, you know, some relationships are greatly strained to where there may not be any communication. There hadn't been communication after many, many years. But back in September of 2019, God put it on my heart to visit with my parents, and I actually got a phone call from my mom. She asked me, she said, hey, can you come home and just check on your dad and spend some time with him, because she felt like he was literally giving up on life. You know, not to say he was going to do anything to himself, but he just wasn't lively like he used to be. I mean, he was still funny. He's a comical guy. But he just, he was having a lot of health challenges, and I think they were weighing on him, and there were some other things going on. And so I literally started spending, you know, I'm a transport driver, so I'm pretty much all over the country. So I drive a lot. And so every weekend I would make an effort to go to Mississippi, and then sometime I'd just spend a week or two with them just to hang out. And finally just hit a point, since, you know, I'm not married and not in a relationship or anything like that. It just hit a point to where I saw the need to go to move back home, you know, to move to my hometown. And at first it was challenging, because, you know, I'm an adult man. I'm an adult male. I'm 49 years young, you know, and so to literally be there with your parents, are you kidding me? I mean, what kind of stuff is that? But you know what? When you do what God asks you to do, you can't be concerned about what people think. I'm at a point I could care less what people think. God asked me to do something. I live for him. I work for him. I serve him. So I did what he asked me to do. And now I'm seeing why, because they're both in medical facilities, and my brother and I, you know, they need us. They need us at this hour in their lives. They need us. They need us praying. They need us there for them. They need us. So I didn't mean to start out like this. The goal was to talk about the COVID-19, the coronavirus, and, you know, to encourage people, and I'm going to do that. But I wanted to share that. So if you're in any type of relationship where things are just, you know, there's ill will between people, you know, straighten it out, fix it. Jesus is coming back real soon, and you don't want to get caught. I was going to say, you know, you don't want to get caught in a situation to where you're having to give an account for unanswered prayer because you just decided I'm just not going to fix it. I don't care. Now some things only God can fix, and there are some things that God can't fix because he can't violate the human will. So we have to make sure that we're doing our part because I know there's a scripture that says, as much as is possible with you, live at peace with all men. As much as is possible with you. Now, there does come a point to where, you know, people don't want to hear it. I don't want nothing to do with you. You know, forget it. I could care less. And they have that right as a free will moral agent. But when you stand before God, and the Bible says that every man will stand before God, you'll stand before God by yourself and give an account of your life. So you just have to be mindful of that. You know, I can't hate anybody. I refuse to hate anybody. You know, right now we're living in a society where, you know, people have ill will towards the president of the United States. They have ill will towards black people. They have ill will towards whites, white people. You know, I can't hate a guy who's a member of the KKK. That makes me no different than that individual. I can't hate somebody that's a member of Black Lives Matter, because that makes me just as that. I mean, you just, that's hypocritical. How are you gonna go to God in prayer and say, well, Lord, you know, I know I should forgive, but I still want you to do this for me in my life. And God is like, well, let's clear up the blockage. Let's get the blockage out of the way. Go fix it with this person. Actually, I'm in Romans chapter 8, but I'm going to go back there. Mark chapter 11. And this is Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland and Pastor Dahl. This is like the hallmark of faith scripture. Mark 11 and 24, it says, let's just start in verse 20. It says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Then, wait a minute, I thought the scripture would be further up to where Jesus cursed the fig tree. Let's start in verse 12. Let's start right there. And this is also a lesson on your words. What are you doing with your words? How are you using your words? You know, are you using your words to lift up or tear down? Are you using your words in fear or in faith? Are you using your words to encourage or discourage? Let's start in verse 12, Mark chapter 11, verse 12. It says, now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Now, let's skip down to verse 20. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, I know that this is correctly translated, have the faith of God, have the God kind of faith. See, when God spoke, it came to pass. When God imagined it and spoke it, it showed up. See, God doesn't operate in the realm to where I have to see it to believe it. No. He operates in the realm to where I believe, therefore I'll see it. And his faith is developed. He operates in the highest kind of faith to where there's instant manifestation. Because he doesn't speak things contrary to his faith. Now the Gospel of John says that we are gods because we're made in his image. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. So if I'm made in God's image and I am a speaking spirit, that means I can use my words to create the life I want or to create things in other people's lives, all kinds of stuff. That's why I am so mindful of what I speak over my parents. Period. I was going to say during this hour where they're in medical facilities, but period. I'm mindful of what I speak over myself. And then if I speak something contrary to the word of God, because sometimes you can get around people, and people are so negative, and they're just so doubtful, and they worry, and they're concerned, and they just, you know, well, that's just how I am. No, what you just told me was, is that you're unwilling to change, and you rebel against the word of God. Huh? You can't say that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, because Jesus said, do not worry. Don't worry. What do we do with that? Do we just take it out of the Bible and just say, well, I'm going to worry? And worry, literally, at its root definition, means to fray your nerves. That's what it means. It means to get you to a point to where you are just so rattled to where you're no good to anybody or anything, not even to yourself. That's why he says, do not worry. You can't even make your own heartbeat. You don't tell your heart to beat, okay? You don't tell your brain to function. These things were already in place when you showed up. You just, by God's grace, you are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a physical body. Your physical body is what allows you to have contact and communication with this natural physical world. Well, I ain't never heard that before. What you mean? Go to a funeral and look in the casket. That is the body that the spirit and the soul used to be in. The spirit and soul came out. Now, based on the decision of the person living in that body, that determines where you go. If you never accepted Jesus, you can't go to heaven. You can't just decide, well, I'm going to heaven because I want to. No, it doesn't work like that. No, it just doesn't work like that. You don't decide. You don't get to make that decision. You must be born again if you want to go to heaven. Well, there are many different ways to heaven. Jesus is not the only way. Well, you know, I'm not going to argue with you. You've already made up your mind what you believe. All I know is what I believe, what I've experienced, and what I know. And there are billions of other people who know and believe the same thing. See, if you're trying to convince me to not believe Jesus, you're too late. You're too late. It's just that simple. Okay, let's finish this, and then we'll get over into our original message that, you know, I posted. So verse 23 says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Now notice it said whoever says, whoever. It didn't say 50-year Christian. It didn't say just got born again yesterday. It doesn't even say if you're born again, you can say. It says whoever. That's talking about any human. Wow, that's good. That is good. So, says, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, prayer is not just, oh, God, we love you, and oh, God, and humming, and la, 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 la. That's that. We're not. Prayer involves any words that come out of your mouth. For example, you tell somebody to go to hell. You just ask God to send somebody to hell, and you just signal the devil to get on that person, because now they can. God can either use your words, or Satan can use your words, but somebody has access to your words. And one thing about words, can't take them back. That's why it talks about guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So you have to watch what you're saying. That is so important. Man, that tickled me to death. Really? You didn't die? Oh, so now you're a liar. So what do we do? Because you're confused, and well, heaven's not confused in the sense they're just wondering, why do they speak that way? Well, I'm sick as a dog. First of all, you're not a dog. And number two, you had an illness that came at your physical body, but you overcame it. God helped you to overcome it. You might not have given him the credit, but he helped you to overcome it. Now, let's read verse 25, and we got about 14 minutes left, and I gotta get on the subject. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, if you are listening to this message, do you have anything against Donald Trump, the President of the United States? Because it says right here, if you have anything against anyone, it says forgive him. Forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Now, I already know God has already forgiven me whether I forgive somebody of something or not. In this verse, he's talking about things that the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance. Hey, you didn't deal with that. Can you go deal with that? Can you go deal with that for me? Now, that doesn't necessarily hinder things from taking place in your life, but you want to live with a clear conscience, and you want to do everything you can possibly to make sure you're not blocking up God from operating in your life. Because as the scripture talks about, your words are stout against me. So there's things that God wants to do, but he can't do because of your words. Now, with that being said, here's the question. What is the coronavirus? What is it? All right, let's go to Luke chapter 7. COVID-19, the coronavirus. What is it? Luke chapter 7. Let's look at verses 18 through 21. It says, then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? When the men had come to him, they said, When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour, he cured many of infirmities. Now, infirmity is translated simply, let's see here. It's simply translated illnesses. All right. Afflictions and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. The coronavirus is an illness. It's a sickness. It's an infirmity. It's an affliction, and it's accompanied by an evil spirit. And I'm going to show you here in just a few minutes that there's a chief evil spirit that has evil spirits working. Well, they're rebellious and all that, but they hate mankind because it hates mankind. I'm not even going to give them a he because the thing doesn't have a gender. But the coronavirus, it is an illness, an infirmity, a sickness, and sickness simply means to not function correctly. Like your lungs are supposed to function to where they process oxygen throughout your body, air throughout your body. They take in oxygen and then they give off carbon dioxide. I was going to say carbon monoxide, but that's not correct. They give off carbon dioxide. It's interesting that plants take the carbon dioxide and give off oxygen. See, God got this whole system set up real smooth. So if your lungs aren't functioning like they're supposed to, that's called a sickness. That's what it's called. Okay? So the coronavirus is a sickness. It's an illness. It's an infirmity. Now, here Jesus cured people of these. So that means it's not supposed to be a part of your body. So what does the coronavirus do? What is its goal? What is its purpose? When it comes at a person, what is its goal? Let's go to John 10:10. And it says, the thief does not come except to steal, trying to steal your health, to kill, trying to literally take you out, and to destroy. The goal is to destroy your body so you're ineffective for God and what he's called you to do. But then watch this. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, this word abundantly means in abundance to the full until it overflows. But then it talks about superabundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, profuse, extraordinary, above the ordinary, more than sufficient. Imagine if you had more money than you just had to figure out stuff to do with it. Or if you had so many houses to where you could just put people in houses and just, you know, if they couldn't meet their rent that month, you could just say, you know what, God bless you, we're going to take care of you. Or if you had enough cars to just, everybody at your job, you could just give them a car. That's how God thinks. That's how God thinks. He wants you to walk in divine health. See, that's health that's above just regular health. He doesn't want you depending on the government for health care to where they give you a pill every day or have your, I was just talking and, you know, 10 different medications, my God, your body got to figure out how to fight off all, Jesus. Now, I'm not saying, you know, take your meds. I'm not saying don't take your meds. But dear God, there are people that are on, they got like 12 different medications they're taking. And then you talk, then it's compounded with the side effects. And I'm just thinking, there's got to be a better way. You know, there was a woman in the Bible. They said she spent all she had on physicians and rather grew worse. So she was broke and she wasn't any better. Something wrong with that. Something is definitely wrong with that. Okay. 8 minutes. Okay, gotta go, gotta move. Why do some people get COVID-19 or the coronavirus and others don't? That's the question. Why do some get it and some don't? Let's go to Revelations. Let's go to Revelations chapter 12. And we're just going through scriptures. Just going through scriptures. Let's start in verse 7. It says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, talking about the dragon, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He can deceive the world. He can't deceive the saints. He was cast to the earth. So he's on the earth. I thought he was in hell. No. He's on the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony about, now I'm saying this, about what the blood has done. So they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. So we have there's a devil loose that's on the earth. And actually, let's see. Let me find it in here where it says he was cast down, did not prevail. He was cast, serpent of old, called the devil, saying that he was cast to earth. And loud voice saying, for the accuser must come down. Our God, then I may cast down. Blood of it's in here somewhere. Let's see. But it talks about he when he was cast down, he had great wrath because he knew his time was short. Let's see. No, it's first found in the God was cast out. A servant of all called devil, and he was going to be cast out with him. But our voice said, strength and kingdom of God, the power of Christ, and perform day and night, cares and okay. I know I just read it. It's in there, though. But you get, I recommend read Revelations chapter 12, because it says that when he was cast down, that he had great wrath. He was he hated mankind. And so it's in there. I'm not sure why. I don't see it right now, but I got to move on because I got like 5 minutes. Just read Revelation chapter 12. Now let's go to John chapter 9. And, you know, the question was, why do some people get the coronavirus and some don't? I don't think that's an, while that is an accurate question. However, it may not necessarily be the right question. Because watch this. John chapter 9, verse 1, it says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the question comes up, well, who sinned? Who did something wrong that somebody got the coronavirus and somebody didn't? Watch Jesus' response. Jesus answered. Now I encourage you to read this in the Message Bible, because it, you know, he says, you know, oh, the Message Bible is good. Just read it in the Message. It's awesome. Jesus answered. He said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus said, stop worrying about how it got there, who it came through. Now, I'm not saying that you just, you know, if you know somebody tested positive, I don't recommend inviting them to the house for dinner every night. We get that part. But at the same time, let's focus on God's healing power versus focusing on putting the blame on somebody for having something. You know, God gives us wisdom. He gives us insight into stuff. You know, we're not just walking around, you know, with blinders on and say, well, you know, I don't care if they got the coronavirus. I'm still going. Now, there are some situations to where parents have to be around their relatives that have the coronavirus or that tested positive. Think about healthcare workers. They have to be around the patients that tested positive. I was in a situation to where I literally had to be around my parents, even though I had tested positive, you know, and that's not to say that, you know, they got it necessarily for me, because there were other situations to where the coronavirus was like active. There were some things, and I'm not going to get into the details, but you do as much as you can in the natural and make sure you're led of the Lord, you know, because for a long time, and I'm probably going to end with this. I condemned myself. I walked around in guilt and shame because I felt like, you know, I was the reason that my parents were having medical challenges and things going on. But then God came in and showed me some stuff, and I'll probably share it another time, to where he said, you got to stop condemning yourself. You got to stop feeling guilt, and you got to stop letting shame come in. And he showed me some other things that were going on, to where he said, stop blaming yourself. And you know, we do that so much. We do that so many times. We do that so many times to where we just blame ourselves, and we feel like, you know, it's my fault, you know. Adam and Eve did that in the garden. They did that in the garden. The shame, the guilt. But I'll get into more details at a later date. But right now, you know what? If you've never accepted Jesus, I recommend that you pray this prayer that I'm about to pray. Heavenly Father, when I leave this planet, I do not want to go to hell because I rejected you. I accept you right now into my life, and I ask you to help me live the life that you want me to live. I renounce sin. I renounce the former way of living, and I accept Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection as the evidence that I now have new life. I have your life living on the inside of me. So with that being said, I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. I get to go to heaven. I'll read my Bible. I'll live for you. And I'll allow you to help me on a minute to a second to second basis. And it's in the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Well, you know what? Well, we got about 10 seconds left. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We'll do this again probably next week. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.